First Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 11. First Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 11. Scripture reads as such. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, on account of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. And we're going to use as a subject, represent. God bless you. You may be seated. Represent. There's an NBA commercial, of Golden State. They're in Golden State, Oakland, California. And in this commercial, you have all of these Golden State fans, and the camera is actually on someone. The camera is following someone. You don't see this person, but the camera is following this person. And as the camera is following this person, you see all of these Golden State Warrior fans looking into the camera or looking at this particular person with disdain. As a matter of fact, there's a man from the window actually pointing, trying to tell him to get out of town. Kids on the playground, Golden State Warrior fans, kids on the playground, playing on the playground, but all of a sudden, whoever this person is, they walk by, and the kids stop playing, and they look at them with anger in their faces. Klay Thompson comes out of the practice facility with a bag on his face, and he looks down at this particular person. And the camera is constantly following this person all the way up to the point that this person walks into a bar. There's a bar. And in this bar, you have Golden State Warrior fans sitting down at the table. There's four of them sitting at a table. And all of a sudden, one of them kind of looks over towards this individual, and then they kind of just wave him in. Well, then the camera finally reveals who this individual is. And lo and behold, it is someone with a Cleveland Cavaliers jersey on. I believe it was LeBron James, number 23. And what this person does, this person actually pops the jersey like that. In other words, I'm representing the Cleveland Cavaliers, even though I am in Golden State, California. Are y'all with me this morning? I believe the God I serve wants his people to be able to represent him down here on earth as we represent our God in heaven. Have I got a witness in here? It's about representing him. Now, we've got all these jerseys on and alma maters and all kinds. I see Brackenridge High School. I see all kinds of stuff out here. But God wants us to represent him. He wants us to, now look, it's okay to wear your jerseys. It's okay to wear your Spurs jersey, your Dallas Cowboy jersey, your Los Angeles Laker jersey. It's okay to wear those things. But listen. We are wrong as Donkey Kong if we're not representing our king. If we don't represent the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that's what I want to talk about right out of this passage of scripture, representing God's kingdom. Have I got a witness? Represent means to portray, characterize, to depict, describe, or act on behalf of your particular community, group, or affiliation. It's to be a good example of where you are really from. Represent where you are really from. Peter reminds these believers how they are to represent, reminds the believers as well as us how we are to represent the kingdom. And in the previous verses, we read in verse 9 and 10, it says, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And we talked about it's time for the rocks to cry out. Y'all remember those sermon series? It's time for the rocks to cry out. Well, you know what? We've cried out. We've cried out. Now it's time to walk it out. Yeah. It's time to live it out. It's time to represent the kingdom of God. Peter reminds these believers as they're facing intense persecution, even in the midst of persecution, there's an expectation for us to still represent the kingdom of God. When God chose Israel, When God chose Israel as his own special people, he set Israel apart to represent him amongst all the other nations. And in these last days, he has chosen you and I, those of us that are in Jesus Christ, he has chosen us to represent him. And if we're going to represent him, first thing you and I have to understand is that we must remember that we are residents of heaven. Say residents. You and I are residents of heaven, those of us that are in Jesus Christ. Look at what the text says. It says, beloved, beloved, beloved. Let's just stop right there. Beloved, beloved, that's an identification that we are actually now children of God. We are loved by God. Listen, if you ever feel like you are not loved, God loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you so much. He loves me so much that he sent his one and only son to die on a cross for your sins and for my sins. There's no greater love than a man would lay down his life for a friend. But then this transition, this word beloved, takes it a little bit deeper, because now we are part of God's family because we are children of God. Now we are called beloved. Look at somebody and say beloved. Look at somebody and say beloved. Listen, listen, that's relationship. That's relationship. And God now is our Father. But he says, beloved, I urge you, I exhort you as aliens and strangers. Aliens and strangers. There it is. You know what an alien is? An alien is somebody from somewhere else. Not from here. They're from somewhere else. He says aliens and strangers. Strangers is someone who is just passing through. I'm not from here. I'm just passing through. Passing through. And if we're going to represent God's kingdom, we've got to get that in our head that we are really not from here. We are just temporary residents. Temporary residents. And since I am a temporary resident, then I know that this is not my home. And my home is in heaven, and I've got to continually represent where I'm from. Are y'all with me this morning? See, you're not going to see me wear no Cleveland Cavaliers jersey. I'm from San Antonio. We represent the Spurs. You will not see me wear no Los Angeles Lakers jersey. You will not see me wear no Pittsburgh Steelers jersey. I'm from Texas. We are either Cowboys or Texans. Am I right about it, Elliot? But part of the problem that you and I fail to represent the kingdom of God on earth is because we've forgotten where we are really from. We're just temporary residents here. This is not our home. We're just pilgrims journeying through this land. Through this land. And we've got to understand we're aliens and strangers. Listen, young people, see, kids that go to steal, they can't go up to school with Judson on. You can't go to Judson with Steele on. You can't go to Sam Houston with Hollins on. No. You got to represent. Got to represent. Go to Brandeis wearing Brennan. No. Got to represent where you're from. Here's the question. Here's my question. Here's my question to the saints this morning. Who you repping? Who are you repping? We're to be repping the kingdom of God here on earth. Listen, listen. And to be quite honest with you, in the grand scheme of things, you only repping one or two places. Are y'all with me this morning? In the grand scheme of things, you are only representing one or two places. Now, Philippians 3:20 says, our citizenship is in heaven. Yeah. Our citizenship is in heaven. We're just temporary residents down here. Philippians 3:20, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the grand scheme of things, either you are from above, either you're repping above, or you're repping below. Look, Jesus said in John 8:23, he said unto them, you are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. I am not of this world. And see, we have to develop a kingdom mindset if we're going to represent the kingdom. Are y'all with me? Colossians 3:2 says, set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. Not on the things of the earth. And so in order for us to represent, we got to realize where our residency really lies, which is in heaven. Number two, you and I, if we're going to represent, this is a big one, we have to resist and refuse fleshly lusts that war against the soul. Resist and refuse. Say resist. Say refuse. Resist and refuse fleshly lusts that war against the soul. Look what the scripture says. It says to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. Now listen. Here's where much of the misrepresentation takes place. Here's where much of the misrepresentation takes place. Don't get quiet on me when I start talking about the flesh. Come on now, y'all stay with me. Look. He says to abstain, which means to refrain, exercise self-control, exercise self-restraint from allowing your flesh to get what it wants. Allow that flesh to get what it wants. It says fleshly lusts that wage war against the soul. These lusts, fleshly lusts, are cravings, desiring to satisfy ourselves with things of the world. Fleshly desires. Here it is. If you are constantly feeding yourself with the things of the world, you're misrepresenting the kingdom. Misrepresenting the kingdom. See, when you realize that you are from heaven, stuff down here really don't matter. When you have a kingdom mindset, when you set your mind on things above, this stuff down here don't matter. But the flesh, y'all know the flesh, say flesh. The flesh, the spirit is willing, but the flesh gets weak. The flesh gets weak. And Paul said it like this in Galatians 5:16, he says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. This is a warfare that's going on between our flesh and the Spirit that lives inside it. There's a battle that's going on. Now, here's the deal. If there is no war going on, at the end of this service, there are going to be prayer counselors down here. You need to run down here and see one of those prayer counselors if there's no struggle, if there's no battle, if there's no war going on. But listen, those of us that are in Christ Jesus, those of us that have said yes to Jesus Christ, we know that there's a real battle waging on the inner man of us, because our flesh wants some things, but the Spirit is saying you can't have it. You can't have it. So what are the things? What are the things that our flesh desire? What is Paul talking about in this passage? Look right here in the next verses 19 to 21. He says it like this. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident. In other words, can't miss them. I want you to see what they are. They're evident. And then he lays it out. He says, which are immorality. Immorality. Immorality is just sex in general. Just sex in general. Flesh. Flesh. Somebody say amen. Flesh. Then he says impurity. This is just filthiness. Unclean. Dirty. Low down. Sensuality. This is licentiousness. This is self-abandonment. This is what the young folk call wild and out. Sensuality, just wild out. Then idolatry, worship of idols. It could be your car. It could be a TV. It could be an iPad. idolatry, worship of idols. This next one is big, sorcery. 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 Now, during this culture, I want you to really hear this. During this culture, they had many witch doctors. And people would go to the witch doctors who would create a potion. Create this potion to help them deal with their issues, but really to help them escape reality. Escape reality. To encourage hallucinations. This is what this sorcery word means. This is really illicit pharmaceuticals. Can I bring it all the way home this morning? Yeah. Weed. Sorcery. Yeah. Meth. Sorcery. Sorcery. Then he goes on, he says, enmity. This is hatred and hostility. Strife. Wanting to fight all the time. Conflict. Just like looking for a fight. Jealousy. Mad and hostile because you want what somebody else has. Jealousy. Jealousy. Then he says, outburst of anger. Just blow up. Blow up. Disputes. This is competing with somebody else. Trying to keep up with the Joneses. Competing. Dissension. This is discord and division. Factions. Heresy within the body of Christ. Heresy within the body of Christ. Envying. Jealousy is mad because you can't have what somebody else. Envy is you just want it. You want what someone else has. Envy. Drunkenness. Drunkenness. I said it before, I'm going to say it again. You'll never be drunk in your own eyes. Ask somebody who loves you if you're drunk. Let them tell you the truth. Drunkenness, flesh, carousing. Oh, my goodness, carousing. This is a festival in honor of other gods. In other words, just trying to throw a party just to throw a party. We need to party. It's time to party. Everything, party time. Party time. And here we go. Here we go. Man, Pastor, I thought you was going to call mine. Look at that last one. And things like these. Whoop, there it is. There it is. There it is. There it is. Listen, listen. These are the works of the flesh. The works of the flesh. And listen, in 1 John 2, it says, love not the world, nor the things of the world. And I don't want us to miss this passage of scripture because we read it, but I think we read over it. It says, do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Do y'all see that? For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. From the world. And if we are going to represent the kingdom of God, we have to refrain, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. Which war against the soul. We just can't feed into our flesh. We just can't have whatever we want, when we want it, how we want it. No, we misrepresent the kingdom that way. And then the next point tells us why. Look at here's number three. Number three. This tells us why we can't have those things. We must realize that we are being recorded. Realize we are being recorded. Look at the text. It says, verse 12. 12a, it says, keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, non-believers, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, on account of your good deeds, here it is, as they observe. As they observe. Here it is. Here it is. You and I need to understand this. We cannot allow our fleshly desires to overtake us because we have a lost world that have us on record. Listen, the lost world, they're just watching everything that we do. Peter wanted them to get this. Peter wanted them to understand that. You see, in the midst of persecution, thank you, Lord. In the midst of persecution is when people really want to know if you saved. Oh, everybody can praise God when everything is good. Everybody can praise God when there's some change in the bank. Everybody can praise God when everything is going well. Let me just say it like this, because we need to preach against this prosperity doctrine thing. Because a lot of people will equate blessings with a nice car, with a nice house, with a nice bank account. Those are good. There's nothing wrong with having those things. But let me tell you something. An unbeliever can have all of that. Matter of fact, unbelievers have all of that. I know people with mansions that don't know Jesus. So don't get that twisted. We're about spiritual blessings. But here's what really defines you. What if God took that nice house? What if God took that nice car? What if God let Satan have his way with you like he had his way with Job? Y'all remember Job? Satan said, look, you got him all encamped in. You got the hedge all around him. God, move that hedge out the way and let's see if he praise you and let's see if he worship you. God said, go ahead, but you can't touch his soul. Job lost everything, house, kids, everything in one day. Oh, but I love that passage. Because at the end of that passage, it said, Job worshiped God. And see, here it is. It's good when everything is going fine for you. People will look at you and say, oh, they blessed. Oh, they're a Christian. And you talking Christianity. Oh, God, highly favored. But let something happen. Will you still be blessed and highly favored? But here's the deal. People are watching. They're watching. And Peter wanted them to get this. Listen, what a testimony. What a testimony to the world. And I believe that we've got to gain that thing back from the world. We've got to get that back from the world, because people have looked at Christianity and said, I don't want no parts of it, based on what they've seen. If you say you're a Christian and all I ever see you do is fulfill your fleshly lusts, let me tell y'all something. These people during this time, they did everything they could to get those Christians to mess up. I'm gonna tell y'all something. Some of y'all know this already. I'm gonna drop this on you anyway. Unbelievers will set you up to mess you up. They'll set you up to mess you up. They'll set you up and sit back and record you. And y'all, we live in an age of technology. Let me tell you something. Your business will be all over the world within minutes. Because we live in an age of technology. And we've got to remember that we are being recorded. And what they would do, they would set these Christians up. They would intensify the persecution to get them to buckle, to get them to give up, to destroy their testimony. And you know what? It really wasn't against them. It's against Jesus. The world wants to discredit our Savior. But we're to represent our Savior. If we're going to represent our Savior, we got to do like the Savior did. Jesus took it. Jesus took the persecution. He did not back down. He went all the way to the cross and gave up his life. But we got to remember, listen, don't you ever forget, somebody is always watching. Stephen, when he was being stoned, Paul was right there giving consent. Paul was holding the clothes of everybody and all of their stuff. Paul was holding their stuff while they stoned Stephen. But Paul saw something that day. Paul saw something that resonated within him, and it stayed within him. And God began working on Paul just from what he saw. And you and I never know. You never know who's watching. Never know who's watching, waiting to see if your talk, if your walk lines up with your talk. Oh, it's time to walk it out. It's time to walk it out. And we need to understand, he says, keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles. Look, and don't act like fools. Time is out for Christians to be acting like the world. Too many people are watching, and they want to discredit our character, our Savior. They want to discredit. And here it is, here it is. Now, if somebody caught you giving into your flesh, if you've been caught, somebody bring it to your attention. Don't get all mad about it. Are y'all with me? Don't give them heat. Don't get upset with them. Here's what you need to do. You need to say, number one, thank you for bringing it to my attention. And forgive me, because that does not represent who I really am. Are y'all with me this morning? Tell them how terribly sorry you are for misrepresenting the king. Because they will call you out. Somebody know what I'm talking about. They will call you out. I'll never forget playing basketball back in the day, but I used to sing at the NCO club, and I sung at church. Been to talent shows at the NCO club, had my choir robe on Sunday morning. I'll never forget one day, Sean, I was on the court hooping. The guy came up to me and said, man, Stu, man, I ain't know you blow like that. Man, at the NCO club, man, man, I ain't know you blow like that. Before he even finished the sentence, somebody else came and said, man, you ain't never heard Stu saying they be on church, at church on TV. They're watching. And God will send somebody to call you out because you are misrepresenting the king. And we've got to always remember that people have their recorders on. They're watching us. 1 Peter 3:16 says this, and keep a good conscience so that in the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. But I like the Message version. It says, keep a clear conscience before God so that when people throw mud at you, none of it will stick. They'll end up realizing that they're the ones who need a bath. It's the Message version. Stay clean. Stay clean. So if they throw it at you, if they slander, you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about it. It'll come back around. But here it is. What's being recorded of your life? Are you representing the kingdom? Finally, here it is. It's final. We're gonna be done right here. Finally, others will receive salvation, which results in God being glorified. Yep. Others will receive salvation, which results in God being glorified. This is huge. Look what the scripture says, 12b. They may, on account of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. Glorify God in the day of visitation. Here it is. The ultimate goal of representing God is for God to get glory. You and I were created to give God glory. That's man's chief goal. Man's chief aim and goal is to glorify God. That's why we were created. And so we have to understand that. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let your light shine. Let represent the kingdom. Let it shine. Don't put it under a basket. Don't hide it. Let it shine. Let our light shine so that men may see our good works and glorify God, which is in heaven. People don't believe God is real. People don't. That's why they have movies now called God Is Not Dead. One and two, because people are crazy. The Bible says the fool has said there is no God. And we live in a culture, we live in a time where people don't believe God is real. And one of the main reasons they don't believe he's real is because his people who are supposed to be representing him are not real.
But listen, we're to glorify God. We're to point people to him. And look what the scripture says. It says, in the day of visitation, that they may glorify God in the day of visitation. This is huge. The time of visitation really is an Old Testament concept, referring to occasions when God visited mankind, for either judgment or for blessing. Time of visitation where God would visit mankind for either judgment or for blessing. Isaiah 10:3 says, and what will you do in the day of visitation and in the desolation which shall come from far? To whom will you flee for help? And where will ye leave your glory? Jeremiah 29:10 says, but thus says the Lord, when 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you to bring you back to this place. Now, in the Old Testament, during the Old Testament time of visitation could render a judgment, or it also could render a blessing. But in the New Testament times, in the times in which you and I live now, God just want to bless his people. Time of visitation means bless his people. But let me connect all of this for you all, and then we're going to be done. It's important for you and I to represent the kingdom and not fulfill our fleshly lusts, because people are recording everything that we do. They are watching everything that we do. Non-believers are watching what you and I do. And the time of visitation is when God begins to knock on their heart. God begins to knock on those unbelievers' heart. It's a time of visitation. God is speaking to them. God is reaching out to them, and he's knocking on their heart. But here is the key. Here is the key. As he's knocking on their heart, will they think about your testimony when you went through what you went through? Are y'all with me? As God is knocking on that unbeliever's heart, he's visiting this unbeliever. And as he's visiting this unbeliever to save them, to rescue them, can they think about your testimony at that time of visitation, as they're going through, as the Spirit of God is speaking? Will that person stop and say, I remember when that brother went through that storm, and I remember how that brother maintained his testimony, and I'm going to give my life to Jesus today because I remember what that brother or that sister did during their time of testing. This is what Peter wanted them to get among the Gentiles, so that when God visits, when God is ready to save, when God is ready to deliver somebody, will your testimony cause them to get out of their seat? Or will your testimony cause them to stay in their seat? When you invite them to church, will your testimony make them say, church, you? Or will your testimony allow them to say, I've been watching you, man, I'm going to come by and check it out. Sister, I'm going to come by and check it out. I've been watching you. You're different. Pastor David just said that last week. We can talk it, but it's not until we begin to walk it out and live it that people will really begin to believe that this thing is real. This thing is real. These Christians are for real. I know they're real because I've seen them go through some stuff. I saw that sister when she had to deal with a crisis. She didn't fold up. I saw this sister go before God, and I saw the joy of the Lord still on her face, even in the midst of her trial, even in the midst of her storm. And because of that testimony, I want what they have. It's just like kids eating ice cream, eating candy back in the day, kids eating candy. And you know, kid have a lollipop, and y'all know back in the day, we didn't care. The kid have a lollipop, and they just licking on that thing. And it looks so good, so good. And you sitting there looking, you don't have enough money to buy you one, but you want some. And you get tired, and you get frustrated. And you finally just break down. Can I have some? I believe that's the way it ought to be with the kingdom of God. Where people have just been watching. They've been watching your walk. They've been watching how you've been living for the king. And then they've been doubting a long time. They've been watching you and observing you over and over and over. They've been watching how you handle this situation, watching how you handle that situation. They finally break down and they say, can I have some? Can I have some? And we're able to give them Jesus. We're able to give them Jesus. But it starts with us representing the kingdom. Amen.